If you're like me, your weekend plans include kicking back and watching live sports. And it doesn't matter what sport you're watching, it is always better to have a little action. Personally, to start the new year right, I've got my eye on the critical NFC Championship game. That's why I recommend downloading the WynnBET app right away. Whether you're a recreational player or a serious handicapper, WynnBET is your ticket to every exciting wager, from straight bets to parlays, teasers, and any exotic proposition wager that you can dream up. The app is easy to use, and everybody knows Wynn is one of the biggest and best brands in the gaming industry. So get off the sidelines. Join in on the action. Download the WynnBET app on Google Play or the Apple App Store today and put yourself in the game. Win with WynnBET. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You have to be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Has there ever been an experience like the Tim Tebow experience?
It was wild. It was crazy. You know, what is going on? Why is this happening? I never really truly comprehended it. We're doing all this about a backup quarterback, you know, that's also the personal protector on punt. So it was very odd.
Hey, everybody. What's happening? Welcome to the Jim Rome Podcast and welcome to episode 206. This week, I'm joined by another force of nature from the NFL, a three-time All-Pro, a seven-time Pro Bowler, and an absolute beast at the center spot. This week, my guest is former Jet, Nick Mangold. Nick was a first-team All-American at Ohio State before heading to New York in the first round of the 06 draft, and he never ever left. He spent the next 11 seasons grinding in the trenches as the anchor of a dominant offensive line, an offensive line that powered the Jets. Yes, the Jets to back-to-back AFC Championship games. That really happened, and he was right in the middle of it. Now he's keeping things interesting in retirement with his very own line of barbecue sauces made from his very own recipe. My man's just different, and different makes for compelling content. But don't get it twisted. Different, but an absolutely great dude. So let's get right to it. It's episode 206 with former All-Pro center Nick Mangold, and it's coming at you right now. So, Nick, it's been a minute or two since you and I have spoken, so bring me up to date, man. How are you living, and how are your post-playing days treating you, Nick?
They're doing well. I got four little ones, so they keep me busy, but it's been a blast. I started a barbecue sauce, which has been an awesome 74 BBQ. Unfortunately, our first line of production rolled off on March 23rd, 2020, so it's been a slow grind, but, you know, we're looking forward to grilling season coming up. So we're super excited about that.
All right, so I'm going to jump in and I'm going to follow you up and ask you about your barbecue sauce in a minute. But to your first point, you've got four little ones. Hey, it's the proverbial, there is no playbook for that. What's it like being a dad for four little ones?
Yeah, it's just, I can't even call it controlled chaos. It's definitely chaos. I think it's like managed chaos. You know, it's wild. My oldest is 10, soon to be 11, and my youngest is 3. So we're starting to get to the world of, you know, sports and activities and just becoming Uber drivers. While at the same time, we got the little one. So it's a wild time. You know, I love it. I couldn't think of anything better to be doing. And I'm enjoying my time doing it. But it definitely, there's some days where, you know, you get to the end of the day and I see my wife on the couch. She's like, oh, you're still here. That's good. I like that.
That's the best. I can't even imagine. Like, we have two. I've got one in college and one in high school. And thinking about college, and look, I hate to be this guy, but we've had help, and we have two, and they're great kids, and it's still a challenge. So I can only imagine what four must be like. I love your point that it's not even controlled chaos. It's straight up chaos. All right, so I do want to talk about your business. I'm going to get to the sauce for sure, but I do want to ask you about this, Nick. You and I both have a relationship with WynnBET, so I don't need to tell you how much fun it is to get down, get a little bit of action in watching the games. The highs can be really high. The lows can be really low. But for those who do not know, I want you to lay out your week 16. What happened to you during week 16?
It's the stinky poo-poo Giants. That's what did it. You know, we were sitting there. It was Sunday morning. I think I had just finished. I was watching. I'm a big European Premier League. So I was watching my soccer or football, as they call it. And you know, my team had just won and it was getting close to 1 o'clock. And I was like, oh, you know what? My wife was sitting right there. I was like, hey, hit me with this parlay that you want, you know, just tell me who's going to win. So I did all that. And then I was like, you know what? I'll go, I won't go against her. I'll just make my own and see what happens. And so, you know, the day goes on and we're running around and I'm not really paying attention. And I see after the 1 o'clock slate, I go 7-8. I hit all of them but the Giants game. Giants lost to Philly by a ton. Couldn't cover. I think it was like 13 points. And so I was like, oh, that stinks. You know, it would have been fun. I think it was like $25 would have netted me $55,000. And then so as I'm watching the 4 o'clock games and I just see them keep ticking off and each one keeps winning and winning. And finally it gets to the 8 o'clock game and I realize I am now I'm 10 out of 11. I was like, I know that Dallas is going to win and it's going to be the Giants that kept me from $55,000 all because they couldn't cover against Philly.
All right. So you're talking about, quote, the stinky poo-poo Giants. If what I'm hearing is correct, Nick, you had a $25 bet that you had a 12-game parlay on. You could have parlayed 25 bucks into 55 grand. Wouldn't that qualify as absolute horseshit Giants?
Yeah, it would, but with the idea that we still have four young ones, we try to keep the cursing at a minimum. Does always work out, but we do try to try to keep it somewhat even keeled around here.
I don't know, Nick. Like, I don't want to be offensive in any way, and you made a really lucrative career out of the NFL, and I know that money's not the only thing that matters or even the most important thing, but I'm thinking 25 bucks, that could be 55 grand. I'm thinking, hey, fuck it.
Yeah. I don't. It's funny, like when people always talk about where you, oh, well, you know, any person, it's not me specifically, it's any person like, oh, well, you made so much money. Like, does it really matter? Like, you're just winning this small amount compared to what you've already done. I think it's just the thrill of it, you know, and I think that's what's the fun of gambling. You know, as long as you're within your means and you're doing it responsibly, you know, you have this action and, you know, it gets you interested in other things. Like, there's a lot of times where I'll end up watching a 4 o'clock game where I don't care. Like, maybe it's like San Fran versus the Cowboys. I do not care about the game. I don't care about either team. Don't care whatsoever. But if I have $5, you know, either way on a money line, on a against the spread, whatever it is, like that, it piques my interest on it, especially when you get going into deeper and you get in like the prop bets and everything. It makes watching a game, especially when you're doing like live in-game betting, just makes it that much more interesting. You get sucked more into it.
All right, so Nick, you just nailed it. You just nailed it. And help me explain this before we move on. And this is not, you know, this is not a win bet thing. You and I are not shilling for the company. I want you to explain what you just said, because I could not agree with that more. Like, I was always that guy, Nick, that before they legalized gambling, I was always somebody who took great pride in, I don't need to get down to enjoy the game because I love the game. I'm all about the game. But the fact of the matter is, I am stunned at how much watching the game or experiencing the game changes, and you don't even need that much money on it. In fact, why does it stress me out, and why is it so thrilling when it's not nearly as much money as I've invested on so many other things in my life? Can you even explain what that is?
I think it's just the idea that you have a little bit of stake in the game. And, you know, I've always loved football since I was at the age of 8. Football has been king in my world. So if I didn't gamble, I'd still be watching football. It just adds a little bit of element where you have a little bit of extra stake in the game to pay attention to it a little bit more. Even, you know, when you're, you know, cleaning up the house or doing whatever and the game's on, you're paying attention, you know, that much more. And it adds a little bit more excitement to the Sundays. And then when you get into like college and you have Thursday night, Monday night games, like there's so much going on. And I think that's what is kind of interesting and brings you into the sports. Like, I started paying attention a lot more to baseball because I was starting to getting into, you know, just small bets on baseball. The first inning unders were fantastic. They were just so much fun because they happened so fast. And, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. Basketball, you know, March Madness is wild. I never really, I always enjoyed that first weekend of March Madness. But the first time that I really sat down and I added a little bit of money to the stake and really paid attention to the games and watched it with a betting interest, it blew my mind, like changed the way that I saw it and the way that I enjoyed it. So there's something about having a little bit of stake in the game that just makes you that much more interested.
This is all so true. So true. You did a great job of describing that too. Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Do not make a shake or eat a bar. Instead, grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Why Old Trapper? Because Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender and made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. Old Trapper is a family-owned business that takes smoked beef very seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Who wants dried, tough beef in a bag? Nobody. It's like eating a shoe. Old Trapper is the real deal, and it comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned is sweetened with a touch of brown sugar goodness, teriyaki, peppered, and hot and spicy for those of you who like to take things up a notch. Next time you want a great protein and energy snack that you can have anytime, anywhere, grab some Old Trapper beef jerky. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? All right, so you love the game, and you play the game at a really, really high level, and now you get to analyze it, break it down, even have a little of action on the side. I got to ask you, Nick, as somebody who loves the game and who is now a fan, what did you think watching Sunday's Buffalo-Kansas City throwdown?
That was amazing. Like, when you sit there and, you know, Buffalo goes up and there's 13 seconds left, and you're like, listen, there's no way Buffalo's won this game, and you think, like, you know – like, if you put Aaron Rodgers, you say, all right, you know, 35 seconds, Aaron Rodgers, 35 seconds, you have Tom Brady. Even if you had Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, you said, all right, you have 13 seconds. You're like, I don't think that's going to happen. Patrick Mahomes, like, that, there's just something about the, you know, the legend that is him that you have to start thinking about. Like, well, 13 seconds, you know, if they get this pass here and they get there, like, maybe there's a chance. And so it was a wild way to finish the regular. And then I was disappointed. Because, you know, Josh Allen had done so much right that game. And not to get the opportunity to be able to, you know, go back out there after the Chiefs scored that touchdown and win the game. I feel as fans, like, as an outsider looking in, I was like, and I know the rules. And so the players are going to say, you know, those rules are the rules. We got to stop them on defense. But as a fan, I was like, I'd love to see Josh Allen come back out there. And let's just get into a straight duel and see what happens.
Again, I think you nailed it. I agree with you. I normally am not that guy who says, you know what, the rule sucks, but it's the rule. Like, by the way, the rule does suck. And if you're anybody other than a Kansas City fan, you want to see Josh Allen at least get that opportunity to match shots with Patrick Mahomes because he earned it, because he did the entire game. Let me just ask you really quickly. Can you make any argument, Nick, at all for Buffalo choosing to defend as soft as they did with those 13 seconds left in regulation? I mean, we're talking about some of the most brilliant defensive minds in the game. How do you explain them doing what they did in that spot?
I mean, I don't know. I guess you just kind of hope that you have enough defenders around that you'll make the tackle quickly. It's tough. Like if you go strong into it, and you know Patrick can beat you with his legs, so maybe he gets enough yards straight off his legs alone. So it's kind of I'd hate to be the defensive coordinator in that situation because they have so many weapons, so many ways to get the ball big chunks quickly. So. It's a tough call. And I mean, we're all going to armchair quarterback and say, you know, we could have done this, could have done that. But in the moment, I mean, you do the best that you can. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out.
All right. So, Nick, what about this? I know you'll make your pick before week's end, but I'm curious about your early lean. Like the Bengals, it looks like they're going to get a touchdown. And Joe Burrow, he is something else, boy. I mean, we could go on for hours about this guy's poise, his toughness, the way he shows up, the way he leads. Actually, as an Ohio kid, you were a Bengal fan growing up. How do you think Burrow and company will do at Arrowhead? Like, if I were to say to you, Nick, I'll give you the Bengals in seven, would you take that right now?
That's tough, especially since, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. I grew up a Bengals fan. I'm a huge fan of Joe Burrow, coming from Athens, Ohio, home of Ohio University. Go Bobcats. Where my wife went for 4 years. So I, you know, pseudo went for 4 years. And so I'm a big fan of his, you know, Joe Cool is amazing. And so looking at the game, you know, I kind of, and I don't want to put this evil upon him because I want the Bengals to win, but I look at it more like, you know, my run in 2010, we had Mark Sanchez as a second year quarterback. We were doing some good things. We were rolling. I think Joe is a much better quarterback than Mark. I think, you know, he has much better weapons and everything. So I think it's a very different situation, but our defense was better. And so, you know, we still petered out in that AFC championship. And I hate to admit it, but I think they're going to as well. I think the Chiefs have the experience. They have the playmakers on offense. That defense has now started to really pick up the second half of the year. I have a hard time unless you're giving me the Bengals plus 10, I don't think I can go anywhere near it.
I hear you. And yeah, I'm going to ask you about the Sanchez in a minute, one of my favorite guys. You guys are actually doing a podcast right now that I also want to ask you about. Really quickly, what about the Rams and Niners? Like, Nick, given how busted up the Niners have been, I don't even know how the hell they are where they are other than they're tough as hell. But here they are, right? And they've had the Rams number. How do you see that matchup? The early number I've seen on that game is 3.5. So you get that hook, which is kind of nice if you like the Niners and you like that value. How do you see that matchup?
It's going to be a tough one. You know, San Fran plays just amazing smash mouth football, really beats you up and everything. But in where I think LA is more, you know, that finesse, getting things done. They have Aaron Donald and Von Miller. Von Miller starting to really come into his own in that defense. So it's going to be interesting. But I can't call it quite yet. I'm leaning right now towards the Rams. I feel like if Matthew Stafford has an okay day, as long as he does okay, I think the Rams win. I think Stafford could lose this game for him if he has, you know, the bad Stafford game. But as long as he stays okay, I think the Rams defense is going to get the job done against the 49ers. And, you know, they have enough playmakers on offense that they'll be able to get the win against the 49ers.
All right, should be interesting. Now, I think the average fan, Nick, does not understand how nasty life can be in the trenches. You spent 11 years down there battling. I'm curious, is there any way for you to kind of describe in a way that the average fan can understand to get their head around what it's like to be in the trenches for 11 years in the NFL and what you did down there?
I don't know if you'd ever be able to truly describe what you go through. You know, it's they always talk about running backs and, you know, going through an NFL game. I remember I saw something, a doctor had come out and said that, you know, an NFL running back going through a full game was the equivalent, damage to the body was equivalent to like a 35 mile an hour car crash. You know, and so running backs get, what, 20, 25 touches a game. We're hitting people for 60 to 70 times a game. So, you know, you kind of add that up. The collisions aren't as big, but they're more repetitive. And so you just waking up with that feeling of soreness and tired and pain. And I will always say, you know, every time someone asks me, you know, how's retirement? Do you miss it? And I'll say, you know, I love the game of football. I still love it. I watch it, but I do like waking up in the morning feeling good and being able to get out of bed without being like, ooh, that still hurts, or, you know, this is stuck in the wrong position. So, you know, it's one of those things. I don't think any offensive lineman ever or defensive lineman expect sympathy for it because, you know, we signed up for it. But it's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Hey, let me ask you something. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login info for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all your entertainment that you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the very best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. I use it. I love it. You can learn more at DirectTV.com. That's DirectTV.com. Compatible device is required. Content varies by package. So I'm really curious, Nick. I've had this conversation with so many different athletes, and I mean, I get dozens and dozens and dozens. And it's so interesting, right? Because it's such an amazing thing. You spend your entire life working towards it, and then you're an elite athlete, and you're treated a certain way, and then the cheering stops, and then all of a sudden, so does the treatment, right? And some guys are great with it. Some guys are prepared for it. Some guys understand it. I'm kind of curious, like, what's the transition been like for you? How careful or mindful were you not to be defined by that? To always have great gratitude for it, but not be defined solely by that part of your life?
Yeah, I think having kids did it for me. You know, I think that keeps you grounded and keeps you settled in and knowing that, you know, I'd much rather see my kids succeed than anything that I did. And so I think that's helped a lot with the transition from being an active player to a retired player. But I'm also very fortunate. We got stuck here in New Jersey decided we couldn't leave. So I'm still in the area. And I got to tell you, Jets fans around New Jersey and New York City and Long Island and the area, they're fantastic. And so I still feel the love from them. It's great to get out. I've been doing a lot of tailgates recently, now that we're back doing tailgates and everything. And it's been a lot of fun. So I've been very fortunate that I was well received by the fan base, because I think I just look like a goofy cartoon of a Viking in a Jets uniform.
Oh, do they love you? You are absolutely beloved. So I'm picking my spots here. I want to be really respectful of your time, but you know what it's like to be in that town, and they do love you. Let me ask you about their quarterback, Zach Wilson. Comes into a tough situation, right? A really tough situation, but they did draft him to be their franchise quarterback. Based on what you've seen from him, do you think he has it in him to be that guy? Like, does he have that it in that town on that team? Is it going to work out for him?
I think so. And I think the big thing you see with him is I feel like he's embraced the city, but not taken advantage of it, which I think is a big thing, you know, as a young kid coming up. I think that's a great start. And I think everything that I've heard about him and talked with him, you know, he seems to be a student of the game, which is huge. You know, it's very difficult for a rookie quarterback to come in and learn an offensive playbook and get going and being able to do these things in the NFL that we expect him to. So I judge rookies not off of their rookie quarterbacks, not off their rookie year, but their second year, because now they get the opportunity to spend more time with that playbook. They have it all off season. You know, they go into spring workouts and know where they need to get better. At that point, they should know the playbook in and out. And so now we get to see where their talent can take us. So I'm excited for this year. I feel like he's going to be one of the guys that's going to be, you know, nose in the playbook, trying to learn all the ins and outs, not just the what, but the why. And so I'm excited to see us coming into spring and seeing, you know, what this team looks like when we get to mandatory minicamp. I know there's no pads, but you'll get a sense of where they're at. You know, is everything moving smoothly? You know, are there penalties? Are there, you know, miscommunications? That's going to be a big tell coming in this mandatory minicamp after the spring workouts.
I thought that was a great line you just used, that he's embracing the city but not taking advantage of it. Has there ever been an experience like the Tim Tebow experience? Like when you're in the middle of that, it didn't last long there, but when you're in the middle of that, Nick, what was that like?
It was wild. It was crazy. You know, it was just one of those things where, you know, what is going on? Why is this happening? I never really truly comprehended it. You know, it was one of those things where you're like, you know, we're doing all this about a backup quarterback, you know, that's also the personal protector on punt. So it was very odd. And I think it did cause a bit of disarray amongst the team. And so it was disappointing because, you know, I don't know if we had the core team that we needed to do things, but I don't think that the addition of Tebow helped us in any way.
Hey, listen, that might have been disappointing, but your response was not. That was incredible. And nothing against him. He's probably the best guy ever, but I think everything you just said is so fair, so fair. Now, you've got a podcast with Mark Sanchez, and I go way back with Mark Sanchez. I love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. I've always loved the guy. How are you guys approaching that platform if everybody in the history of the world now has a podcast? And granted, a lot of what distinguishes others is, you know, point of view and experience, and you guys have that. What are you guys looking to do with your pod?
I think it's just the fact of Mark and I, you know, we have this great relationship built off of you know, an undeniable connection. You know, when you have a guy sticking his hands underneath you to receive the snap, you obviously develop quite the chemistry. And so Mark and I have that, and it's neat. And, you know, we always joke, I think we're technically only 2 years apart age-wise, but I think on maturity level, we're like light years apart. So it's such a weird dichotomy of, you know, we're really close to the same age, but we're very different. And it's a lot of fun. It's been neat. We've had some amazing guests come on that we've got to interview and had fun chats with. And, you know, being with that. And so I think it's kind of peeling back that curtain of the center quarterback relationship where, you know, I'm hoping that at some point we do an outtakes episode, because there's a lot of times, you know, it's a straight busting balls where, you know, he'll mess something up or I'll mess something up and, you know, we get good laughs at it. And there's 15 different takes of something that we have to do. It's a lot of fun. And I think that's the neat thing, you know, especially when you're talking about, you know, everyone and the brother has a podcast. It's fun to do. And it's not one of those things that I really feel like we have to work at. We have this synergy where we're able to do it. I wish we could do it in person, but Mr. Fancy Pants has, you know, he's got to call games and do different things. So he's got to be traveling all around. But it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it.
You nailed it. It's a lot. First, it's supposed to be fun. It's got to be fun. You got to have that chemistry. It always helps to like your coworker and your co-host. This episode is brought to you by the Jordan Harbinger Show. Hey, you want a new podcast to look forward to every single week? One that's entertaining, informative, and packed with actionable content? Of course you do. The average podcast listener has 6 shows in rotation, so you're most likely not just listening to the Jim Rohn podcast, and that's totally fine. In fact, let me suggest a podcast that you should add to your list. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show, a top shelf podcast named Best of Apple in 2018. Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes, authors and scientists to mobsters, spies, hostage negotiators, and more. Harbinger has got this incredible talent for getting his guests to share never been heard before stories and thought-provoking insights. Without fail, he is able to pull out tactical bits of wisdom in every single episode, all with the noble cause to make you a more informed, critical thinker to better operate in today's complicated world. What I'm saying is, Jordan is one of the GOATs when it comes to podcasting, and he has got one of the most highly rated self-development shows out there right now. Point blank, this dude is smart, he's funny, he is easy to listen to. You will find actionable advice that can improve your life directly. You cannot go wrong with adding the Jordan Harbinger Show to your rotation. It is incredibly interesting. There is never a dull show. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. When you talk about biologically, we're only a couple of years apart, but in terms of maturity, we're like way apart. Are you saying my man's got the maturity of like a fifth grader?
No, he's graduated like junior high. I put him at least at like an eighth grader. He might be in high school at this point. You know, he's getting there. He's growing up on me, which is nice. It's good to see. But I still, you know, I give him, you know, it is funny. I mean, I don't know why. Like, I always felt so much older than him. And then when we actually talked about biological years, like, actually, we're pretty close.
Well, so look at it this way, dude. It's like having 5 kids, not 4.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely my first kid. He broke me in.
All right. So really quickly, like, I get this all the time, but it's really important. Like, who you talk to is really important. And you want to make sure that guys show up a certain way. I'm sure they show up for you guys in a different way. But like, when you say we've had some really great conversations, give me one or two. Who have been your favorites or your favorite conversation that you've had with somebody else?
I mean, not to disparage any of them, because they all have been fantastic. But the one that caught me off guard of how much I really enjoyed it was our recent episode was Ralph Macchio. Hmm. He came on and we had a nice chat. And we were, you know, talking, because I remember watching, you know, Karate Kid as a kid and seeing that. And now, you know, talking to him and be able to hear his experiences, different things. It was amazing. And like, Mark had connections to it because there's stuff in California that they filmed at that he, you know, I think there was the mini golf course or something like that that he's gone to. So there was this connection. It was such a, you know, out of world experience of like someone that, you know, growing up watching this movie, I never once in my life, I would ever be like, oh, you know what, I'll be able to have a chat with him. And so that was really cool.
All right, so that's kind of surreal, even for somebody like you. Let me ask you something, Nick. Like, you're cool, so I think you can relate to this. Does it translate over time? For instance, I'm getting older, and I see things in a very different way, but I'm still pushing myself really hard to be as competitive and relevant as I can be. I know you talked to Joe Namath. Joe Namath was the coolest dude ever for a long, long time. We're talking about a guy with the white cleats and the fur coat, and just, I mean, Joe bleeping Namath. Now, we're not talking about a young guy anymore. You had a chance to talk to him. Does cool translate over time? Like, is that dude still that cool? What was it like to talk to him?
Yeah. Joe will always be cool until the end of time. Like, even, you know, he's never not going to be cool. You know, he had it when he was playing. He still has it now. Just talking to him, he has that air about him. He has that coolness that just, it's kind of this aura about him. And so it was a lot of fun. I've talked to Joe, you know, many times over the years, but this one was neat because we got to kind of reflect on his life and what he's done and everything. And so it was neat hearing it from his mouth, especially, you know, when he starts talking about the Super Bowl guarantee. That was an amazing part of the conversation, because I feel like you always you hear about it and you read about it, but hearing it from the horse's lips is really cool. And so it was awesome. Like, you know, it was neat seeing him. You know, we talked, I think we even got into his pantyhose extravaganza for his, one of the advertisements he did. So like there, any person you talk to, especially when you talk to fans of the team that, you know, they're around that Joe Namath era, you just say Joe Namath and their eyes just kind of gloss over and they get this soft smile, and like, that's how you know someone's cool. Like, they still have this coolness so many years later.
See, you understood exactly what I was getting at. Like, I'm a California guy. I've got no connection to the team, and I wanted to hear that. I'm going to talk to you about the sauce extravaganza next really quickly, Nick, before I let you go. But when you talk about a guarantee, like, how badass is it that the quarterback of a team that was like a 16-point dog guaranteed a Super Bowl win and then went out and did it?
It's unbelievable. And, you know, I think he would be, you know, in today's world, I think he would be just dragged across the coals left and right, you know, because that's, I think that's the world that we've become. But, you know, when that happened, it was such like a defining moment. And, you know, that team rallied with him and got it done. They had that confidence. They knew going into it that they were going to get the job done. So it was just, it was one of those things. It was so beautiful. And it was such a turning moment, I think, in the NFL too, when you look at the back, at the history of everything that happened after that, you know, this renegade AFL coming in, you know, knocking at the Big Brother's NFL doors and kind of shoving it to him, was pretty awesome.
All right, so Nick, it's really clear to me, you're like heart and soul with the 74 barbecue sauce. Like, how did you find yourself in the barbecue sauce game? What are the origins of that?
I don't even know. Like, I've been making my own sauce for many years now. It's one of those things I did for friends and family. And then, you know, I got done playing and we were going back and forth of what I wanted to do. And I was like, you know, after 11 years of entertaining, I was like, I want to sell something. I want to be a part of something, you know, that is mine. And so it was like, well, do you have anything? I was like, well, this is the one thing other than my kids that I've created. And so let's go with that. So we started the process. I had no idea going into it. I was blindfolded to, you know, walking down the grocery store, walking down the aisle, seeing all these bottles and what goes into each and every bottle. But I learned a lot along the process, and I've had a lot of fun with it. It's been fantastic. I have two flavors out right now, the OG and the spicy. I'm hoping to get two more, so that way I have one for each of my kids. And so that makes that hobby project that much more interesting, is that, you know, it has a component to my kids. We also have a charity component to Answer the Call, which is amazing work in New York City, for the families of fallen first responders. They do amazing work. So we contribute a portion of the proceeds to them, which adds even more emphasis for me to get the word out that we have the sauce. So I want to try to give them as much money as we can. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been neat. And there's something about barbecue that brings, you know, families together, communities together, friends together. And you spend time over great food and conversation. And so to be the sauce on top of all of that, it's been a lot of fun.
And now a message from Discover about rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that's useful, like cash back match, for instance. Discover matches all the cash back that you have earned at the end of your first year. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply. All right, so I love everything I just heard about that. I want to be very clear about this, Nick. This was not a case where some conglomerate or some entrepreneurs, you know, came to you and said, hey, Nick, let's slap your name on it. Are you telling me that, like, you personally came up with the recipe? Is it your recipe?
Yes, it's completely my recipe. It's the one I've been using for years. I've gone to the different food manufacturers to get it mass produced. You know, I did the label design, doing all the nutritional stuff, doing the bottle design, logo design. Everything is done with me. There's nobody behind it. It's me and my partner. You know, we're it's the two of us, and we're trying to grind through. And that's what makes it so much fun. It's not some, you know, it's not Heinz being like, hey, Nick, can we put your name on this sauce we're going to put out? Like, this is my baby. This is what I created. I love it. My family loves it. And so I think that's what gives me the passion to keep on going, because it is truly my baby.
Dude, you are a bleeping entrepreneur. That's amazing. So one last thought, just to circle back. If it's just you and your partner and you're doing all this work, you're doing the footwork, you're in the street. What happened when you launched right around the time of the pandemic?
That was a little tricky. So, like, you know, pandemic happens, everything shuts down. Barbecue sauce is best sold when you can try it face to face. And if you can't go face to face with someone, it's very difficult. So we've had, you know, a big social push as best as we can. And we're starting to get out. You know, I was doing a bunch of Jets tailgates this year, getting the sauce out. And we've had an online presence getting it out. We're locally around a couple of stores, you know, and trying to find that big distributor that will take us on and push us to other stores. As soon as we find that, you know, I think things will explode where we can get it into most local supermarkets. But, you know, right now it's me and my partner. Like, I'm the distributor. You know, I get the call from, you know, the local butcher. He's like, hey, I need two more cases of this. So I'm driving. I drop it off out of my trunk. It feels like a dirty drug deal, but, you know, it's still barbecue sauce. And that's where we're at. And so, you know, we are the true definition of a straight small business, where we're trying to build, you know, from a grassroots effort to build this up. And so anytime I get something on social media, it's like, hey, I love your sauce. You know, can we get it at this store? I have to be like, hey, listen, you got to go in and talk to the manager, say you want my sauce. And he'll talk to his distributor. If we get enough of that going, we're hoping to get something big.
All right, so I think this is an absolutely awesome story. I guarantee, Nick, people listening are going to ask the question, all right, yeah, but we're not in the area. Can you only physically get it in a store? Can people listening get it online?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, which has been a big help that we're able to, you know, to get it around. We've sold it all over the country. We actually have a presence in the United Kingdom. We have a distributor out there that's selling it. So, we are internationally known, which I like to say that makes us sound more important than we are. But you can get it online. But I would love to be able to get grocery stores where, you know, someone's shopping for the week. They're walking down the aisle, see it, and you're like, oh, that looks interesting. Let me grab that. Give it a try. I love it, and go back for more.
I know it. All right. So the people listening, though, they know that. Then go to your local grocer and make sure that they know that they want that and that they should carry your barbecue sauce. In the meantime, go to Amazon and get it. Nick, tremendous conversation. I hope you and I can do it again soon. Talk some more gambling, since we have the same relationship or a similar relationship with WynnBET. I appreciate you. That was great. Thank you so much for that time, and really nice to get caught up, Nick. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate you having me on.
My thanks to Nick for showing up strong to the original side hustle. As I mentioned, great player, even better dude. How about my man even pancaking Tim Tebow? Never hear that, but that was an honest and real answer. Not personal, but just real and honest. And by the way, he's not wrong, am I right? But then again, that's the kind of content that you should expect when you come around here. Premium content that you can't find anywhere else, and it's extended, unfiltered, and it's free. If all of that sounds good to you, we have 205 episodes already banked for your enjoyment, and a brand new one dropping on the weekly, including Ep 207, which lands a week from now. Until then, if you could, can you take a second to subscribe? That way you never have to worry about tracking down another episode. It will find its way to you instead. And while you do that, I'm going to go ahead and leave you with your voicemails.
First new message.
Hey, Jim, what's up? This is David from Buffalo. It's real simple, man. Josh Allen did all he could fucking do. He put the team on his back. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen is a top two, if not the top quarterback right now in the NFL, and the fucking defense let him down. If anybody thinks Leslie Frazier is a head coaching candidate in the league, they are nuts. This is not a number one defense. 550 yards of offense they gave up? Are you freaking kidding me? Romy, 13 seconds left in that game. The Bills found a way to lose it. I mean, that is piss poor. McDermott, Brandon Bean need to get their ass in gear this offseason and stop wasting Josh Allen's career, because Josh can't play defense. He can't play special teams. Out.
Message saved. Next message.
Romy, Justin in Melbourne. If you're getting up for work today, you're probably not the Buffalo Bills. I mean, what an epic game. Gave me flashbacks as a kid to the Chargers-Dolphins game back in the Orange Bowl in 81. But my biggest question is, was that crazed KC fan that ran on the field, Ia Frady?
Message saved. Next message.
What's up, Vince Magus? Brady. Man, that was a tough loss for the Bills. What happened? Did you and Andy Reid meet up at Javier's and you slip him a bucket of jungle karma or something? We'll bounce back, though, and hey, good luck in KC.
Message saved. Next message.
Romulus James, hey, you ever noticed, hey, you could probably fit a regulation basketball between the eyes of Carl Anthony Thomas? I mean, Cat from Minnesota, the guy's eyes have to be at least one city block of space worth apart from each other. I mean, E.T. thinks this guy's eyes are spread apart far, and I did call him Carl Anthony Thomas. Looks like a freaking alien. Outro.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, this is Ken in Lincoln Lake. Hey, Packer fan. Here we are. Here the fuck we are. How does my ass taste? We're Jimmy G. We're moving on to the next round. Out.
Message saved. Next message.
What's up, Jim? It's Dr. Dave. You know, that fucking Bills game was such a good game, and then it fucking ripped my heart out. You know, I haven't seen anybody need a squib so much since the fifth fucking Harry Potter movie where he needed to get a squib to get him out of trial. Yes, fucking clones, I am a Potterhead, so what? Better to be a Potterhead than a pothead. Fuck you all. Get COVID over. Get a new fucking special teams and defensive coordinator in Buffalo. War to my man Rick, always lifting my spirit up even after the Bills lose. Later, bitches.
Message saved. You have no more messages.